Well, brethren, let's begin this second message in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40. This is when Jesus and the disciples, the apostles, are in the garden the evening before his death. And in verse 40, it says, "Then he, Jesus, came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Well, brethren, I think it's interesting that this is captured in God's word, because it seems on the surface to be just a physical thing. These disciples fell asleep. It's probably getting late. It was a long day, and I'm not making an excuse for them, but it seems like it's a physical thing and a little thing, but it's really much more than that. If you'll turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33, there's something very interesting there about watching in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 6. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 6, "But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, and his blood I will require at the watchman's hand." The watchman must fulfill his duty. And in ancient times, the punishment was death. If a watchman failed to sound the alarm and the enemy got by, even if it was nighttime, it was very serious. And what watching was much more than just simple passive observation. The watchman had to remain alert and awake. As I mentioned, it was serious business. And God is telling Ezekiel and all of us here in his word to be spiritually awake, and that he, Ezekiel, was to be a special watchman sounding the alarm to Israel at that time. The watchman must fulfill his duty. But now let's go back to the New Testament in Mark chapter 13 and verse 31. Mark chapter 13 and verse 31. We'll consider some more about watching. Jesus is talking about the end of the age. And he says in verse 31, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you what? Sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." The words of Jesus, our Savior. He says to watch. Brethren, we must not be found spiritually sleeping. We must be spiritually awake. Now you can say that Jesus Christ is not going to return tomorrow. And you're right, because there are things that must happen. How far away it is, we don't know. But we do know it won't be tomorrow. But will you or I be here tomorrow? We don't know. There's no guarantee. So for us, it would be that the Master is coming tomorrow, because it would be the next thing we would know. This is serious business, brethren. Are we, and me, myself, spiritually awake? Are we? In Luke chapter 21, let's look there again at the words of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 21, verse 31. Again, Jesus is talking about his return and the events that would lead up to his return. He says, "So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth." We are warned, brethren, here to take heed, to not take part in drunkenness and carousing, and to be overwhelmed with the cares of this life, because it will weigh you down and you will be spiritually asleep. Now, you may say that I'm not a drinker or I'm not a partier, but you can still be weighted down with the cares of this world. You can be weighted down with your work, with entertainment, with material things, with status, pleasure and excitement, even family. You can set these things before God. And if you do, you will be spiritually asleep and at great risk of being caught unaware, because there's no guarantee how much longer you or I will live. We are fragile. Notice next in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul talks about darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, he writes, "And have," this is verse 11 of Ephesians 5, "and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, 'Awake, you who sleep, awake, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, with God's Spirit within you.'" You see, brethren, this world is in darkness. It's deceived. And there are unfruitful works of darkness, sinful acts and sins that is all around us in our culture and around the world. The world is in darkness. But we are not, because of God's Spirit. And that's the only reason, because God has called us. We've been called out of the darkness and out of the spiritual slumber that this world is in. They don't know why they are here, why they exist, where they're going. They don't understand the truth. They don't understand the holy days, as we heard in that other message, and what it pictures. But we do. Are we filled with God's Holy Spirit? Or are we still in darkness to some degree? Because we can fall back into it. You and I can fall back into darkness, and we can go to sleep spiritually. We must watch what we're doing and where we're going and where we're walking. You know, it says that we are to be circumspect, which by definition means to be careful and to watch on all sides. It's from the American Collegiate Dictionary. To watch on all sides. To not walk as fools, but as wise, as Paul says here, redeeming the time that we have, which we don't know how long it really is, and to understand the will of God in our personal life. This is being watchful and spiritually awake. Notice in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, turn there, please, to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Paul writes, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth." We ought to set our minds on the things of God, on what God says, and about the future, in the truth that is within us, brethren, and not on the physical, and to get tied up with the cares of this world, to have a proper perspective of the things on this earth, and to put priority on the spiritual and the things of God. Do we ask God to help us to have that perspective? I haven't been using stories so much in more recent messages, but I have a couple of stories in this message. In 1923, the Edgewater Beach Hotel in Chicago, Illinois, in that hotel, eight of the most powerful money magnates in the world at that time gathered for a meeting. And these eight, if they combine their resources and their assets, controlled more money than the U.S. Treasury at that time, in that era. In that group were such men as Charles Schwab. He was the president of a steel company. Richard Whitney was the president of the New York Stock Exchange. And Anthony Cutton was a wheat speculator. Albert Fall was a presidential cabinet member and personally a very wealthy man. Jesse Livermore was the greatest bear, greatest investor on Wall Street in his generation. Leon Frazier was the president of the International Bank of Settlements. Ivan Kruger headed the largest monopoly at that time. Quite an impressive group of people. Let's look at the same group later in life. Charles Schwab died penniless. Richard Whitney spent the rest of his life in Sing Sing prison. Arthur Cutton, the great wheat speculator, became insolvent. Albert Fall was pardoned from a federal prison so he could die at home. Leon Frazier, the president of the International Bank, committed suicide, as did Ivan Kruger. Seven of the eight of these great money magnates had lives that were disasters before they left this earth. And what mistake did they make? Thinking that they had and controlled, what they had and controlled belonged to them. And this is courtesy of James S. Hewitt. But I would like to add, brethren, that these men followed their human nature of greed and selfishness. And they set the things of this earth as their God, putting too much importance on those things. But you see, we can also set these temporary things on the earth before the things of God as well. We can also do that. And in fact, we're being pulled to do that. If we allow ourselves to fall back into setting our minds on the things here, we will neglect the things of God. We cannot serve both, and we will drift off, become apathetic, and fall asleep spiritually. So how can we avoid this happening to us? In Matthew 26, and we won't turn back, but what did Jesus say? He told the sleeping disciples to watch and pray so they would stay awake. The Greek word that was used for watch in Matthew 26 and also in Matthew 13 that we just read earlier is the Greek word gregorio, gregorio, and it means to keep awake, to be watchful, and to be vigilant. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, there's something very interesting there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. In one of my other messages, I used this scripture and started thinking about this some more, and that's what led to this message. Peter writes, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And that is certainly true, brethren, and we are particular targets to him. But the word vigilant that is used here is gregorio, the same word that is translated watch in Matthew 26 and in Mark 13. Because you see, being watchful requires vigilance, and they are connected. Vigilance is an important element of spiritual watching. To be keenly alert and attentive, to be wary, to be sleeplessly watchful. So imagine in your minds that you are a watchman in ancient Israel, and you're on a tower. You have been entrusted to watch for any approaching enemy. You must be vigilant to do so, to be keenly alert and wary. And of course, you absolutely cannot allow yourself to fall asleep. It takes work and effort. It's not just a passive observation. And we must be vigilant in this way spiritually as we watch our surroundings. But even more importantly, as we watch ourselves and our own spiritual conditioning and our own natural tendency to let down. It's so easy to let down and to be pulled away by our own nature and by the pulls of this world and this society around us, which is in darkness, as we've already seen, and also by Satan, as we've just read here in 1 Peter, who walks about as a roaring lion to take you and me out spiritually. So we have this element of spiritual watching, to be vigilant. Let's look at another element of watching. That's right here in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. We are to be sober, to be serious, to be clear-headed, not intoxicated or under the influence of anything, and to be self-controlled. We are to be sober. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you'll turn there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. You are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But you who are of the day, who have been enlightened, brethren, you who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. We are the sons of light and of the day, because God has chosen to call us now, to prepare us to be special servants for later. And God has opened our minds to understand by the power of His Holy Spirit within us. We are in light, not in darkness, as the rest of the world is for now. And we are not to sleep as others do, but we are to watch ourselves and our surroundings and be sober and be vigilant, not drunk with the pursuit of pleasure in the things of this earth, but clear-minded and serious. Imagine again that you are the watchman on the tower in ancient Israel. Now imagine what would happen if you were drunk. You certainly could not be clear-headed, serious, and keenly aware of your surroundings. You would be utterly useless as a watchman and would lose your life if the enemy got past you. We must be spiritually sober in order to watch spiritually. That means you have to come out of the darkness of this world, the ways of this world, and the ways of your nature with God's help. All of us do, brethren. All of us do, with God's help and His Spirit within us. So this is the second element of spiritual watching, to be sober as well as to be vigilant. Russian author Leo Tolstoy tells the story of a rich man who was never satisfied. He always wanted more and more. He heard of a wonderful chance to get more land. For 1,000 rubles, he could have all that he could walk around in a day. But he had to make it back to the starting point by sundown, or he would lose it all, including his 1,000 rubles. So this rich man rose early and he set out. He walked on and on, thinking that he could get just a little more land if he kept on going on. But he went so far that he realized he must walk very fast if he was to get back in time to claim the land. As the sun got lower and lower in the sky, he quickened his pace. He began to run. As he came within sight of the starting place, he exerted his last energies, plunged over the finish line, fell to the ground, and collapsed. A stream of blood poured out of his mouth, and he lay dead. His servant took a spade and dug a grave. He made it just long enough and just wide enough and buried the rich man. The title of Tolstoy's story is How Much Land Does a Man Need? He concludes by saying 6 feet from his head to his heels was all he needed. This is courtesy of James Hewitt. This man allowed his greed to cloud his judgment. He was spiritually intoxicated and carried away. He may have been rich materially before his death, but he was poor and asleep spiritually, thinking that the physical was far too important. Brethren, we must resist that same thing, to become intoxicated with what we see around us, and to not have it in the proper perspective, to understand that it is temporary. And we must be watching what is going on around us and in the world, and watching ourselves and taking heed of our own spiritual condition, especially as we discern the times that it is getting late in the day And the stage is being set, brethren, for serious times as we approach the end of this age. None of us know how much longer things will go on, but they won't go on forever. So how can we be vigilant and sober to be spiritually watchful? Let's go back to Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Because I stopped at verse 35. I put this piece of paper there so I wouldn't read it accidentally. Jesus, in verse 35, "For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth." His second coming. "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." To watch and to pray so that you can escape and be able to stand. To pray. To not stop praying. Prayer must be an integral part of our lives. It has to be, it must be, because we cannot make it without praying, without both praying and watching. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, let's go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Peter writes, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers." We are to be serious and sober-minded and vigilant in our prayers, not taking prayer lightly or failing to do it every day. We desperately need God's help, brethren, all of us do, so that we will not fall asleep spiritually. Notice what Peter wrote here before verse 7 in chapter 4, in verse 4 through 6. He's talking about those that are in darkness in this world and how they may regard you who don't do these things with them. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. To live according to God in the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, just for your reference, we won't turn there, but Paul writes, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." We have God's Spirit within us. Are we living according to that Spirit within us? Because we live in the Spirit, not the flesh. And prayer is absolutely essential in order to do so, to live in the Spirit. Because prayer is part of our daily renewal of cleansing, as we need to be cleansed of bitterness and other things in our minds. The strengthening that we need, and the comforting and the guidance and the protection that God gives to us as we connect to Him in prayer. And we need this every day. Because if you stop praying, brethren, and I think all of us have gone through that experience for hopefully a short time, you feel the difference within yourself. And you run the risk of falling asleep. We can't allow that to happen. Ask God to help you to desire the connection to Him, to pray to Him, and to be led by His Spirit within you. God wants you to be connected to Him and to develop your relationship with Him. Ask God to help you to pray. To also, when you pray, to ask God to help you to see yourself more clearly. Because sometimes that can be the hardest thing. When you look in the mirror, to see yourself and what you need to work on. To ask God to help you to see yourself more clearly and to see your spiritual condition and to watch. But also something else, to see God's will and to follow it in your personal life. And all of this, brethren, so that you can grow spiritually. Because you and I, and all those that have God's Spirit around the world, are being developed for the future, for God's family and God's kingdom. We're being developed. We must be growing spiritually, but we're not if we're asleep. And that's what happens when you fall asleep. You stop growing. We need to be praying always, every day, and to be instant in prayer. I think I mentioned this last time, to be instant in prayer, even during the day, when you know that you're up against something, you can say quick prayers to God and ask Him for help and for insight, and to not neglect our prayers for others. You see, praying and watching go hand in hand in keeping us spiritually awake and spiritually growing. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 14, please turn there to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith from which you were able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful, being sober and vigilant to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We must be praying always, brethren, so that we may stand with God's power, no matter what happens. Especially in these end times, in which things are going to get much worse. The darkness and the unfruitful acts of darkness are going to increase more and more. Let's go back again to Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. I know we've been there several times, but we need to read these things and see it in print before us. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, again, Jesus says, and we've read it before, but let's read it again, "But take heed to yourselves, be warned, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare to all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore and pray always." And pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We must watch and pray, brethren. But notice now in conclusion in Luke chapter 12 and verse 34. Luke chapter 12 and verse 34. For where your treasure is, Jesus says, there your heart will be also. Is your treasure above with the things of God, or is your treasure on this earth? Let your waist be girded with what? With the truth, as we saw earlier. And your lamps burning, God's Spirit within you being stirred up as you yield to it and allow it to lead you in your development and your connection to God. Let your waist be girded with truth and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Imagine that. When God can say to you, well done, and you sit down to eat and he serves you. And if he should come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We must be ready, brethren. We must be spiritually awake and watching ourselves and praying and continuing our development so that we will be ready when Christ returns, when our Master returns. And as I mentioned, we don't know when that'll be for each of us personally. But brethren, watch and pray so that you will be ready.